The only thing that we can do now that we can't do in heaven is missions. Last week, Rick Sando shared the outcome of being the church, and that is that we get to be the church in heaven. And it's a wonderful, beautiful picture of what is to come. You know, in heaven, we can worship at its best. You know, I think worship's great here. I experienced great worship this morning with all of you. But in heaven, worship is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be the best thing ever. We get to sing with choirs of angels, and it's going to be amazing. You know, we can be the community in church. We can gather together and have fellowship like nowhere else. You know, we will be in perfect relationship with each other. There will be no more dying or crying or pain. It's going to be wonderful. Fellowship in the church now is great, but in heaven, it's going to be amazing. You know, there's so many things that are going to be better in heaven than they are here. But the one thing we can't do in heaven that we can do right now is to lead people to Jesus, to bring others to Christ. So when Rick shared last week from Revelation that we are becoming the bride of Christ, we realized that we are made for beauty. You know, Cheryl and I went to California this last week, and we were part of the Town and Country Commission. We visited some churches, and while we were visiting, we got to go up to the Big Tree State Park. And there's a picture up here on the screen, and in that park, there's this big stump. It's called the Discovery Tree, and that tree was actually chopped down in the mid-1800s. It was this amazing, huge sequoia. I actually got some statistics. It's 24 feet across. I mean, if you see that next slide on the stump, you can go and stand up there, and when you're up on top of that thing, you think, no way could this have been a tree. This is too huge. It's amazing, right, Cheryl? Yes, I'm not exaggerating. And so the tree was apparently 363 feet tall. You know, that's a big tree. And it was 1,240 years old by counting the rings they discovered. And so this tree was something amazing and wonderful. So they decided to chop it down. Interesting, right? So if you're a tree hugger, it would have taken a lot of arms to get around that tree. And so the tree was chopped down. And all you see today is that stump. And so it's just kind of an image of what once was, and you wonder, wow, I wonder what that tree was like. You know, today the church is kind of like that stump. Sometimes we aren't sure, we don't see all of the beauty of the church. We just see a stump of maybe what it was, or a seedling of what the church might be. We certainly don't see the church in all of its fullness like Rick shared last Sunday, like we will see in Revelation, but sometimes we do get little glimpses of the church at its best. And I think at Bethlehem Church here, we get some previews of that. I think that we get to see that quite often around here, just little glimpses. So what are those glimpses? When do we really get to see the church in all its beauty, as it should be? Well, that's what this series really is about. It's seeing and being the church at its best. So we're becoming the bride of Christ. Rick spoke about that last week, and you know that sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? The bride of Christ. You know, if you didn't get that message, I'm just going to fill us in a little bit. You know, in the last days, we are being prepared for those days when Christ returns for his church, and that church, the church, is going to be like the bride of Christ. It's going to be a beautiful wedding where we are united with Jesus for all eternity. And you know, if you've ever been to a good wedding, anybody ever been to a good wedding? Good celebration? Good party. I see some nods. Yeah. Well, that's going to be like nothing you've experienced. This is going to be the best wedding ever in all of history. Nothing will compare to this wedding. And so Jesus has called us, you and I, the church, to go out and send the invitation for people to become part of that wedding, to be the bride of Christ. So last week we discovered the church at its best, we will begin to understand at the end of times what will be. But now we're the church at its best. when we are a missional church. So we exist for one purpose. You know what that purpose is? For Jesus' mission, to go out and tell people about Jesus. We become what we're made for, something beautiful when we share that mission with those around us. You know, and today in the book by Jonah, it's Jonah who's the name of the book, and he's the one depicted here. Jonah is given a glimpse of God's beauty as he's sent out on the mission field. But he doesn't see it that way. He doesn't see this mission as beautiful. He sees it as something ugly. In fact, he doesn't even want to go on that mission. He doesn't want anything to do with it. You know, I love the story in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament tucked in there with all the minor prophets. It's kind of a fantastic story. You know, it's kind of like a superhero kind of stuff. Have you ever known anyone who could live inside the belly of a fish for 3 days? Probably not, right? But Jonah did, and he came out to tell about it. And so as we look at this story, we realize that our superhero Jonah becomes fish bait. You know, and that's really interesting because God sent him on a mission on a direct route through dry land. In fact, the way to his mission field from where he was really across a desert. So how does Jonah end up getting out in the middle of the ocean and being swallowed by a big fish when his route should have taken him across dry land? Well, we're going to find out as we read a little bit into Jonah here. Chapter 1, we should find it up here on the screen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, he found a ship bound for that port, and paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So Nineveh, the other direction, Tarshish. So that's why Jonah's on the water. He's running away from God. So then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will notice us. Take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from God because he had already told them so. So the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault, that this great storm has come upon you." So they didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. You know, they tried to do everything they could, but the storm is getting worse and worse, and they realized if they didn't do it, they were all going to drown. So, boop, there he goes, over the edge. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So Jonah's there in the fish, in the belly, and he begins to realize that he's messed up. Good conclusion, I think, on Jonah's part. But he begins to pray to the Lord, and he begins to ask, you know, "Lord, I know who you are. I know you are the God of heaven and earth. I know only you can rescue me." And he prays, and he says, "God, I will do what you've called me to do. I'll fulfill my mission." And then in chapter 2, at the end, after Jonah's prayer, we read, "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Very interesting. That's a little gross, the imagery here, if you're imagining this in your head. For a moment, to think about what Jonah went through. So I want to dwell here a moment. How many of you have ever cleaned a fish? Yeah? How does that smell? Yeah, now so imagine Jonah's been in the guts of the fish for 3 days. How do you think he's going to smell when he's spewed out? Yeah, Gross, yeah. Probably like all the other things that the fish had eaten for lunch. And I'm sure he didn't experience in the belly of the fish anything beautiful at that time. In fact, Jonah seems to realize what he's done even before the fish comes along. You know, he says, like, throw me into the sea. It's my fault. So when the storm threatens to sink the ship, Jonah knows that he has messed up. So if Jonah was made for beauty, he's pretty sure that now he's missed his calling, right? He was supposed to follow that road in the desert through Nineveh, and instead he winds up lunch for this big monster fish. So Jonah went as far as possible away from God. So what does it get him? You know, certainly not something beautiful, not something lovely, not something striking, not something breathtaking. But in the guts of the fish, Jonah recognizes that he needs something. He needs grace. He needs a rescue. He needs to be rescued from his path that he's chosen. So something incredible happens. He's giving something beautiful. He's given this moment of grace, and it comes from or through indigestion, you know, for this big fish. And so Jonah's barfed out on the beach. And grace for Jonah, and maybe for us, may not always look beautiful. But in that moment, for Jonah, you can trust me, it's exactly what he needed. So where is your path taking you today? Are you living the missional messenger life that God has called us to? Are you taking the dry road to your God-given calling? Or have you been running the other way? Have you been racing as fast as you could go away from God? Are you sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the dark, deep depths of the ocean? Or maybe you feel like you're on Jonah's journey. You're still running from God. Instead of a journey across dry land, you're sailing the high seas of life, but you realize that the storms that come upon you are destroying your plans, and life feels like it's heading towards the belly of the big fish. Do you feel like God has swallowed you up and you're waiting? You're just waiting for the opportunity to say yes to a second chance? You know, I think we're all like Jonah sometimes, if we're honest. We run too far, and we find ourselves swallowed up by things that we never intended, never imagined. We're far from where we're supposed to be, and life stinks. It's smelly, and we lose the beauty that we're made for. Like Jonah, we're in a place that we can't get out of, and we need a rescue. Are you there today? Do you need God's rescue? Do you need grace today? Well, there is good news for us. It really is. God isn't in the business of calling people in order to make their lives miserable. It's not God's intention to make you and I fish barf. So if we're going the wrong way, if we're not living into this missional calling that we're made for, if we're not becoming part of the church at its best, then God's going to step in and God's going to begin to change our direction. God's going to turn us around. God's going to come in with his grace in whatever form it looks like to get us back on path in order to come back home. God's going to send a rescue. Because you and I are made for beauty. And sometimes the journey to beautiful requires being fish vomit. I know these are some crazy sounding words, but Jonah called on the Lord and he was spewed out. And he was given a second chance to be who he was made for. And maybe like Jonah, you and I, we might be right in the middle of experiencing a second chance to become something beautiful. The amazing thing is God doesn't call us to mission only to be deliverers of this message of grace. God actually calls us on mission to be receivers of the same message. We don't just go out to give the good news. We actually get the good news on the way. And sometimes even before we get there, like for Jonah. God wants Jonah to experience firsthand his love and his grace for every person. And so God sending him to Nineveh by way of this death-defying economy fish fare cruise was the best way to do it for Jonah. For us at times, we need a second chance too. God still wants to use us because we were made for that purpose. So off goes Jonah. He's renewed in his mission. So how does it go? So we pick up the story again in chapter 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city and it took 3 days to get through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city proclaiming, 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And the king called the whole city to fast and to pray and turn to the Lord. He gave this order. Let everyone call urgently on the Lord. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So God's message is delivered and the city turns and tens of thousands of people are saved. You know, this is an amazing story, isn't it? God's word has great power. When it's delivered and people receive it and they believe and turn to him, amazing things happen. So why doesn't the story end here? You know, Jonah fled, he came back, the city's saved. Why isn't that the end of the story? Because Jonah doesn't get it yet. Jonah hasn't been changed. So Jonah got his second chance. He went and fulfilled his calling. He did his duty. He came out of the belly of the fish. He went to Nineveh. He gave the message. But something isn't right. Jonah is the most unhappy person there is at this point. I don't think you can describe anybody more unhappy than Jonah. So what's wrong? So we read in chapter 4, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Have you ever seen a church or been part of a church or experienced being on the mission of God where, you know, the church is doing everything right, we're doing everything right, sharing the good news, doing missions of compassion and mercy. People are coming to faith even in Jesus and joining the church, but there's no enthusiasm and there's just no excitement. There's no celebration. Maybe it seems like it's just business as usual, or, you know, it's just something that has to be done. You know, this is our mission. Get more people in the church so the church grows and doesn't die. You know, maybe it's they tell the message and recruit believers so there's more workers. You know, all these kinds of things are part of what it means to be the church, but maybe you or I feel like, you know, I don't enjoy this, but I know that I'm a Christian, this is my job, this is my mission, it's what I have to do. You know, friends, if we're experiencing the kind of response of Jonah to pursuing Jesus' mission, we're not the church at its best. And I don't know about you, but, you know, if I'm following Jesus and following Jesus' priorities, and I feel like Jonah, angry and upset, even after a whole city's been saved, you know, you'd think Jonah should be jumping up and down. What's the problem? Well, we read as we continue, Jonah prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" You know, now we find out why Jonah's mad, don't we? Jonah didn't want anybody saved. Jonah wanted them all destroyed. They were his enemies. He wanted God to annihilate them. You know, they were all sinners. Jonah didn't think they deserved to be saved. And that's the point. They didn't. They were turned away from God. And they were sinning. Jonah knows what they were doing. God knows what they were doing. So why save them? Don't they deserve to be destroyed? The answer is yes, they deserve to be destroyed. What about Jonah? God could have let Jonah sink to the bottom of the sea, right? He could have neglected to send that big fish cruise along to pick him up. He could have floated to the bottom, or he could have been digested by the big fish, never to see the light of day again. But he didn't. God didn't do that. Why not? God rescued Jonah. God gave him a second chance to go on the mission that God gave him. Why is God so generous? Well, Jonah still doesn't realize that he wasn't just sent so the Ninevites could turn to God. Jonah was sent so that he could be turned to God. God doesn't need us to deliver his message. Did you know that? You know, God could do it all by himself. In Nineveh, God could have appeared. You know, he appeared to Moses. He appeared to Paul on his journey. You know, several times in the Bible, God reveals himself to people. God could do all those things. He doesn't need us to share the message with others. But God wanted Jonah to know God's heart for all people. He wanted Jonah to know God's heart for him. And it's the same for us. As we go out on mission, God displays his love and compassion for others so that we can know God's love and compassion for us as well. I think God wants to realize, he wants Jonah to realize his heart for Jonah. You know, there's a little episode that follows. I'm not going to read through it, but there's this plant. Jonah goes up on a hill to watch the city be destroyed, which doesn't happen. And he's sitting out in the sun, and a plant grows up, and it gives him shade, and he's all happy about it. Then in the night, a worm comes and eats through the plant, and in the morning, the sun comes out, and the plant wilts, and Jonah bakes in the sun, and he's all upset again, and he complains to the Lord, "Just let me die." So we pick up this final part of the story. But the Lord said, "You have been concerned," he's talking to Jonah, "about this plant. Though you did not tend to it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I," God speaking, "not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" God spared Nineveh because they turned back to him. You know, and God wants Jonah to turn back. God wants Jonah to be rescued as well. Will Jonah respond like the Ninevites? Will he turn back to God? You know, we don't know. The story ends right there. And so there's an author that writes this. He cautions his readers. He says, "Don't save Jonah too quickly. He has been invited to become all he was made to be that recipient of grace who offers grace with the heart of God." Are you feeling a little bit like Jonah today? Like you've been swallowed up by a big fish, can't run anymore? I call it a Jonah moment. Are you having a Jonah moment? I've had them. I still may once in a while. You know, those moments when you're wondering, where should I turn? Where should I go? Doesn't seem like I've really followed God's path. Maybe we're thinking that, you know, God seems to be leading here, but I don't feel qualified to do that. I'm pretty sure, you know, that's not going to work. Or maybe you're feeling like, I don't really want to do that. I'm not that interested in other people's problems. Or maybe realizing I need to rescue myself. Is this your Jonah moment? If it is, you have a decision to make, like Jonah. Will you remain fish food? Or are you up for a second chance? Are you ready to be spit out and sent out on God's mission once more? What Jonah hasn't yet realized is that we don't go on mission for others to be changed. We go on mission so we are changed. So what we've just heard, this story of Jonah, I think is the fish barf version of being the missional church. You know, it's not very appealing, really. It's not very attractive. Jonah ends up mad and unhappy. And, you know, if that's what's in it for us, if we're followers of Jesus, making followers of Jesus, and we just end up mad and unhappy, and then I think there's a better way. And there is. And it's Jesus' version of being the missional church at its best. It's what we read in Luke 15. You know, it's the the good shepherd going out after that one lost sheep. And when he's found, he brings him home, and what happens? A celebration, a party. Do you guys like to party? Oh, come on. Do you guys like to party? Well, good, then you're in the right place, because that's what God intends for his church. When the lost sinners come home, there is a huge party. That's what God intends. Intends us to be a church filled with joy. You know, the difference between these two stories at the end is one, at the end of one, Jonah's all mad and unhappy. At the end of the other, what's happening? A party. Thanks back there. So a party is full of joy. And so that's God's intention, to be those receivers of grace who share that message of grace with the heart of God. So how do we become that church that goes about our mission with the heart of God? Well, the story illustrates how Jesus seeks out that lost sheep, and that's what he intends for us. God's desire is for the church to be filled up with sinners who turn back to God. God wants the church to be this beautiful bride of Jesus, the Messiah. He wants it filled with everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who's wandering and comes home, everyone who's running from God and needs to come back. That's who God wants. Are you wandering right now? Jesus is calling you back. God's message is that you are his beloved child. He welcomes you back home. You're his beautiful lamb. He's after you. He wants you to be his beautiful church. He wants to bring you home. And if you're ready to come home and you don't know that grace and love, it's really just by faith, which means simply asking Jesus to come rescue you. It's simply like this. Just ask, even now, if you want to. Lord Jesus, I've been running. I need to come home. Forgive me, Jesus, for my sin. Lord, I know that you died for me and that you rose again to give me new life. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may follow you and be your church. Thank you. Amen.